Tom Hanks Podcast. Wow, it's Tom Hanks Podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for Hanks. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to You've Got Hanks. This is the podcast about Colin Hanks. It's new. Okay, I'm Rachel, and today I'm very excited because I have two of my favorite people. They host probably one of my favorite podcasts. They host the Rom-Com Review Podcast. P.S. I love rom-coms. It's Mia Schaffler and Allie Jennings.
Hi! Hi!
Hey!
Thank you for having us. Yes. We're so excited to be on.
Thank you so much for being here. I had to get you guys on because I do love listening to your podcast because I am a rom-com lover like you guys.
Oh my God. So good to be in the company of a fellow rom-com lover.
Yeah. This is Colin's second movie, and it is a rom-com. It is Whatever It Takes. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Which okay. I was like, every time I wrote it, because it's kind of just like a bland name, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
It does not stick in the brain whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because it's like along the lines is like, whatever it takes, as good as it gets, enough said. There's like there's a few rom-coms with names that you're like, wait, which one is which?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of like, I'd say teen rom-coms in the like early 90s. Where they have names that are like have nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah.
Like Drive Me Crazy, Get Over It, another
rom-com. Yeah.
Ooh, Can't Hardly Wait is one that I always confuse Whatever It Takes with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if, well, I know Drive Me Crazy, there was the Britney Spears song. I wonder if they changed the name of the movie.
You guys, they did, because I think in the music video, there was some sort of cross promotion that happened.
Yeah.
Either they were in the music video or she, what was that?
Yeah, they were in the music video because they're in the scene. Like at one point, Britney's walking out as a waitress and Melissa Joan Hart is also a waitress.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
We also did that with Sixpence None the Richer and the song Kiss Me and She's All That. Like
what?
In that music video of Kiss Me, the Sixpence None the Richer song, they're watching She's All That, and it's
what?
So
oh my
weird.
God.
Why am I watching music videos from weird obscure songs in the 90s? Because I why not?
Because you can.
Can. Yeah. It's fun. Wait,
that is such a mind bender, because it's like Kiss Me is in the
it's in the movie
but so the movie is in the music video.
Yeah.
Music.
What came first? What did come first?
Maybe it must have gone song, movie, music video. But
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. Like Britney Spears.
Like Britney Spears.
But we're talking Whatever It Takes from 2000. The synopsis from IMDb is a modern day remake of Cyrano de Bergerac. Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cyrano de Bergerac. Wait, now it sounds funny coming out of my mouth too.
Yeah. It sounds right, but I do not know what we are talking about. But it sounds like I'm like, yes, I have
heard. You don't know Cyrano?
No, do you?
Yes. It's a
what is it?
It's like a popular, it's like a play, right? It's about a guy who has a really big nose, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I don't know if that's, I know Roxanne.
I know Roxanne too. So I don't know. I know
Steve
it's like
Martin has a big nose and a fake nose in Roxanne.
Yeah. I think it's a thing where it's like, so it's in a lot of movies. It's the hot guy asks the ugly guy for help to get the girl, but the guy is like in love with the girl.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I see that kind of thing. Yeah. Right?
Exactly. No, that's correct. Okay. And the layer that I'm not sure is in the other ones, but it must be, is when the less attractive guy wants the more attractive guy's attractive friend.
Yes.
So I don't remember if it's such a square.
Yeah, no. I think this one is unique because it's a double Cyrano story. Mm-hmm. Whereas all the other ones are not. like the other ones, it's clear that the guy likes the girl, but he's helping the other guy because he doesn't think he has a chance with the girl.
Exactly.
Whereas this one is they just like other people. So I don't know. But yeah, it stars Shane West, big 2000s guy.
Oh my gosh.
Where is he now?
Where is he?
I don't know where he is. And then Marla Sokoloff. Is that how you say her name? I'm really terrible at names.
According to the new wonderful show, The Flight Attendant, where a character's name is Alexander Sokoloff, my guess would be Sokoloff.
Okay.
I heard it a bunch recently.
Great. She's great. And this is like one of the only movies where she's like a lead in it.
Right? She was in everything during this time period.
Yeah. And she was always like the best friend or the evil girl, right?
Yeah. She was the mean girl on Full House.
She was mean in Full House. She was also mean in Babysitter's Club, the movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you guys, she was supposed to be Topanga.
What?
And then it got recast. I saw that. Yeah, on my research. She was originally cast as Topanga.
No.
Wow. Also, I just looked up what Shane West was up to just because I was curious. Just because he was like the it guy in these like early aughts rom-coms. He was in Gotham, a TV show my parents like.
Oh.
And he played Bane. So he's doing some fun, good, dramatic TV right now. So good. He's still working.
Oh my gosh, that show is where they put all the early aughts men. Because Ryan from the OC's on Gotham, I think.
Oh yeah, he is.
He is.
So that's where they put them all out to pastures. They put them all on Gotham.
Put them on Gotham.
Well, you know, it's consistent work. They're making money.
I would kill to be on Gotham.
Oh, yeah. I'd be fine with just being girl with folder, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, and then also James Franco is in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Wow, wow, wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I still, we don't like him, right?
No. It seems like there have been several accusations made against him where he's just like, the consent thing, and consent is super important. And
Oh yeah, there was the thing with the underage lady and
oh yeah, yeah.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And she was like, I'm 17, and he was like, I don't care. And it's like, okay, well maybe you should. Maybe you should.
Maybe that's illegal. That's statutory rape. So
Wow.
I think that was him. That was him, right? Sorry.
So yeah, James is bad. And he plays a bad guy in this movie. And then the last Jodie Lynn O'Keefe, who is in She's All That.
Essentially playing Taylor Vaughn in this movie.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah.
She's but like a nicer casted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice up top and then becomes meaner.
Yeah. What was that? I was going to say I liked her at first, and I understood why Shane West's character liked her too, because she's pretty and she seemed nice. But then towards the end, she just turned into a total monster. And I was like, what was up with that?
Yeah. Like unaccountably evil.
Yeah.
Like when the point where they're try to get Shane West to make fun of his friends. It's like, to what end is this happening? Like that these kids are so evil.
Yeah. It was like they needed at first they wanted you to understand why he liked her. And then they were like, now we need you to not like her because we want you to like your friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. And then, of course, Colin Hanks is in this movie as Cosmo.
Oh, my God. And this is his second movie, you said.
Yes. But the first one where he actually speaks, too.
Okay. Because I just watched That Thing You Do, and he made a small appearance in there.
Yes. He plays
And that's like
Usher?
A non-speaking.
Yeah.
But we count that non-speaking probably, right?
Yeah, it's on his IMDb, so I count it. That was his first movie. but this is his first speaking role as Cosmo. And I gotta say, I think he stole the movie.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree, too. He was very good in it. And it feels like this was like him working up to his third movie, Get Over It, where he plays not to spoil your next episode, but he plays a very similar kind of character in Get Over It, and he has an even bigger part. Like, he's not just like the fun side character in Get Over It, he's like an important piece to the plot.
Oh, fun. I haven't seen it yet. I'm very excited.
Oh my God, I'm so happy for you.
It's like watching him grow, you know? that one, does that one have Cisco in it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
It's an amazing cast. Great cast.
I really miss Cisco. Where is he? Who knows?
Miss him too.
I just like, I rewatched, you know, you watched the Kiss Me music video. I recently watched the Thong Song music video and it's very fun. There's one part where they're all like, it's black light and they're all dancing in their neon thongs, you know. Oh,
black light was huge back then.
Yeah. Ugh. And he's like walking down the beach, right? And there's all these ladies lying with their butts up, you know? And there's one point where he like stomps on the beach and it shakes. And it's a great rewatch. Yeah.
So catchy.
So basically this movie is so Shane West's character is Ryan, but they call him Brian the whole time. But Ryan wants Ashley, the like popular cool girl. And then James Franco's character, Chris, who's kind of like a popular douche, wants Ryan's best friend slash neighbor, Maggie, who's like a nice girl. Right. And yeah. And then they, Ryan and Maggie live next door to each other and their balconies are like almost right up against each other.
Way too close.
Yeah.
Whoever built those houses, like, yeah, those architects like definitely broke zoning laws. And like, why would you ever?
If someone sells a house, it's like, where's the line?
Where's the line? Also like, what a horrible feature that this window can look directly into mine. Usually like houses line up windows so that they're not, you know, directly looking into the other one, but you know, I digress. Very fun for movies though.
Yeah. It's a great movie. It's a great feature for a movie where they live, like two teenagers, live next door to each other, you know, cause you know, they're going to fall in love.
Exactly. Which I didn't necessarily get at the beginning of the movie, but then I saw how their balconies were placed and I said, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's where this is going to go.
Yeah. As soon as you see that, you're like, oh, because it's also in Drive Me Crazy, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
It's in Drive Me Crazy. It might have been in that show, Flash Forward.
Oh,
it was in Love and Basketball.
Love and Basketball.
Except it wasn't balconies. It was just like
windows.
They were on the first floor.
Mm.
But they could crawl. It was better because they were on the first floor. They could crawl into each other's rooms.
Oh,
easier access.
Easier access. And then it was also in that Taylor Swift music video.
Exactly. Yes. That's what I was going to say. Yes.
That's where I was like, did Taylor Swift pull inspiration from this?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or from like these early 2000 rom-coms.
Yeah. Because I had never actually seen. Have you guys seen this movie before watching it for the podcast?
No.
No, me neither. I had seen it always. This is another one. This has been like a theme this week for me. I always saw the cover at Blockbuster when I was little. So I remember always passing it and being like, I want to watch it so bad. And then I never did. And this was the first time I watched, except for weirdly, I kept knowing certain lines in the movie. And I was trying to figure out what happened. Cause I was like, I knew the neck thing was going to happen. Like I can't decide if it was playing on TV and I caught bits of it or if a channel was playing it and I kept seeing the trailer.
Oh,
but I do know specifically, I knew what Aaron Paul was going to do to the statue. So my guess would be I saw it on TV, but not all of it is what my guess would be.
Yeah. We haven't even talked about Aaron Paul being
his
feature debut.
Babies. They all are so young.
Yeah. I didn't even recognize him. Because he's so different. He plays like a nerd, like a weird nerd. Right.
I couldn't tell if it was Aaron Paul or Ben Foster for like half an hour. I was like, which one of them is it? And then I Googled it.
Well, Ben Foster is in Get Over It, right?
Yes.
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 Yes. He's the lead in that.
Wow. I love Ben Foster.
I saw him once on the subway in New York with when he was I don't know if he still is. Rebecca. No. Who's the one? Jenna.
Jenna?
Yeah. Who played
from Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
Who is that? I have no idea who plays Jenny.
Robin Wright. That's it.
Oh my God. That's Robin Wright?
Yeah.
I forgot. It was like someone surprising that you're like, oh.
Princess Buttercup? Oh my God. Yeah. Wait, how did Ben Foster, no offense to Ben Foster, are they even the same age?
Ben Foster has hot energy, Allie. And
I do not get
it.
Ben Foster.
I'm so into Ben Foster.
Low energy, mumblecore boy vibe.
So
I just
sensitive
don't get
and
it.
Angry.
Yes, he is so angry. And I'm like, ew, yuck. And sad, angry boy. The two worst kinds.
Yeah.
Mumbly. Like, pronounce your words. You're an actor.
Yeah. I guess they were engaged, but I think they called it off.
He's single.
Yeah. Ben, if you're listening.
Another cameo I noticed that I said when it happened was Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon, yeah.
I know.
Chess Kid, I think, was his credit.
Yeah, just in the smallest role ever.
One line.
One line was just lovely to see. I was like, can we get more of Nick Cannon in this, please?
Yeah, because it was a pretty white cast. And it was,
Jesus Christ.
Oh, so white.
Oh my gosh. One of the whitest rom-coms of the 2000s I've ever seen. I was like, this is an insane.
Looked up to see if Nick Cannon was on All That at the time, and he was. I think it was like 1998 when he started. Oh. So I guess this was like a, you know, he's on TV. He'll be in a movie. But then also while I did a deep dive of Nick Cannon, I saw that he was in a Mariah Carey like featured something special in 1995, and I was like, wait, what? Because I know, you know, later they get married and they have kids, but at the time he was 15 and I think she was 25, and I'm like, oh no, that's weird.
Oh man. My first thought too was, wait, how old is he?
But yeah, that was just a thing. I was like, I wonder if they like knew at the time that one day they were gonna get married.
Oh my god. It's crazy, but it makes sense. I bet that's where they first were like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, but she was like, you're too young, and he was like, I don't care. So Colin Hanks plays one of Ryan's friends who's like a nerd, and I noted that it was like a thing in rom-coms. I don't know if it still is, but there's like the group of nerds that are kind of adjacent to the guy, right?
Yes, specifically in these ruse type rom-coms where there is either a bet, an arrangement, some sort of below board manipulation happening. Oftentimes one of the protagonists will be sort of like a nerdy guy who comes up socially and then has to sort of choose between his friends. This is in Get Over It.
Drive Me Crazy.
Oh, sorry. That's what I meant. I meant Drive Me Crazy. Get Over It.
I haven't seen it, so I couldn't.
Ben Foster on the brain. No, I meant Drive Me Crazy. That's a great example.
But I thought of like 16 Candles was like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then in that group, John Cusack's in that nerd group as one of the nerds.
Yes. And Joan Cusack plays maybe one of my favorite nerds of all times.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Where she has insane headgear and she like drinks water at a drinking fountain, and then she's wearing this sweater, and I would pay probably $90 for the sweater where it's a girl wearing a little skirt and she lifts up the girl's skirt on her sweater and dabs her wet, you know, gear mouth, and then you can see that like the girl's skirt has like little legs under it.
So
such a good moment.
I totally forgot about that, but that is one of my favorite things in that movie. That sweater. I watched this and I really liked it up until a point, and then I didn't like it anymore.
What was the point for you?
What's the point? Yeah.
I think it was the like after the fair date, the double date.
Yes.
When they actually, so they like, they set each other up to date the other person, and then they go to the fair. There's a gross scene where she purposely get sick so that she throws up on him? I wondered that.
I don't know that I thought there was like some issues with like what is the game of each character. I feel like they didn't stay consistent. It felt like the comedy was like switching and was random, and it was like, this would be funny. And so yeah, I just assumed it was an error in judgment to make her throw up.
Cause so the way that Shane West's character gets with Ashley is that he has to be mean to her because that's what attracts her. She's like into that, and then of course, then Shane West helps James Franco get Maggie by being like nice and knowing her, which I thought was gross on Ashley's part. I thought by the end it would be revealed that Ashley actually really liked when he was nice to her.
Yeah, but no, that would be the better version, I feel like.
Yeah, but no, it just, because at first she seemed really put off by him. Like, she turned into a monster when he was mean to her. Yeah. But she was fine. Yeah. She was cool. She wore that really great dress at the party.
Oh my gosh. The bikini with the overlay. Wow. Yeah. No, that character was extremely inconsistent. Like, we already brought up that she goes from being like really nice hot girl to then like incredibly mean. And then, yeah, her, what works for her shifts. And for me, I don't want to bring it down, but similarly, Rachel, like my point when that I was like, oh, I'm not going to return from this was I was watching the opening credits. And as I do, I always just peek and say, oh, I wonder who wrote this as it's opening. And I see the name Mark Schwann and I'm like, oh, what did Mark Schwann do? And I Google him and it's like, oh, he's the creator of One Tree Hill. And the first thing that comes up is that at the last One Tree Hill and then the other show he did most recently, The Royals, was that like basically all the women on One Tree Hill, or a lot of the women on One Tree Hill, specifically one of the actresses, came out and just said he was extremely manipulative, like would harass all the women and force himself on them in different ways, and then try to pit them against each other like by manipulation. And so then watching this movie about two men manipulating women and having like Ashley's character be sort of inconsistent and like so bizarre,
I was like just so ungrounded,
and I was like, just
this
like
this isn't a person anymore, this
exactly is, and it made me be like, this is from the mind of a man who doesn't see women as people maybe. And I was like I that was like the first 5 minutes I was watching it and I was like, oh my god. And then it just like colored my view the whole time, whereas I was watching these female characters and the men handle them, I was just like, oh no, this is just what this guy thinks. This is just like an early projection of his like what he would like things to be like, probably.
Yeah, because by the end of the movie I realized that Ashley was just poorly written by a man. You could just tell that she was not a real person. And then Maggie quickly forgave Ryan for being an asshole, because I would be upset if like I found out that my neighbor best friends like manipulated me into liking this guy so that he could date someone else. I'd be pissed.
Yeah, his grand gesture to like make up for the fact that like he lied to her and manipulated her for months and like put her in a situation that might have been dangerous. It's like, oh, I'll play my accordion for you at prom. And I was like, okay, you know, you need to do a little bit more than that. But the point where I was like, oh, I know what kind of movie this is going to be. Not the point that it lost me, but the point where I was like, this was directed by a man, was the opening credits where you see a close up of a teenage girl's bosom and she's like tying a little tie on her top. Yeah. And it's like, that's like, do we, and like the introduction of this character is her rubbing lotion onto her bare leg. And I'm like, we are sexualizing children.
And it was like a movie that's clearly sort of like about the two male protagonists. It's like, it's, you know, it's going to be about them. And then it's like, why is the opening sequence of, like on all these makeup products?
Yeah.
I was like, that feels so out of place.
It was a weird choice.
It was fun stop motion animation, which I enjoy. But besides I'm sexist.
No. But you got to give it up for stop motion. Always, always a crowd.
Always fun and cute. Yeah.
I like animation openings in movies. They're usually indicators that things are going to be good. But then this was not. Because it's like, ooh, they're putting thought into it. And then, no. Yeah. I like the stop motion animation of the beginning. But then, yeah, that scene, that shot of her, I was like, okay, this is weird. But also those kinds of tops are coming back. I've seen them on TikTok, so.
Oh, is it they the are. One that tie underneath?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. A girl in my acting class had a few on, and I was like, I remember those.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're my coming back. My
online acting class.
Yeah. Also, I did want to talk about his accordion playing. What a weird choice.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, make it a cello. Like, make it something else quirky, like a violin or a fiddle. Just not the least sexy instrument.
And it's so heightened. And it feels so not like this person. Like, I know people that play the accordion, you know, and it's not Shane West. You know, yeah. It's like some people play the accordion, but they've got a very specific personality. And it just felt like this. There was like a certain stuck on nature to this film where I felt like a lot of the jokes were stuck on a lot. It felt like a little bit of like rom-com ad lib, broad comedy ad lib. And the accordion was the one where I was like, that's crazy. But you guys, I'm so sorry to say, because I did not enjoy this movie. I was very upset the whole time thinking about the writer and how he would later go out to treat women and whether or not these two actresses were safe during the shooting.
Yeah.
And then it's so stupid, but like, and a lot of rom-coms have the trope of the dead parent, and that sort of like connects the two leads. Yeah. And so then when he comes to prom and he plays the song that is his father who has passed used to play for his mom for Marla Sokolov, I hate to say that it did move me. I hate
did you
to
cry?
Say,
yeah.
No, did but
you
I did
cry
go,
at this
but
movie.
No, I swear to God, I did not cry, but I did. And also, I must be said, I am PMSing, so I am a little more emotional right now.
Me too.
Oh my God, you guys. So when that happened, I did find myself overcome with emotion, and I was like, and the song's really sweet. What song was it? I'll Stop the World and Melt with You. Is that it?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I did listen to that song after this movie.
Yeah. Because
I love that song. I'm not going to cry now, but it's a really good song.
Yeah. But also you listened to the song afterwards because you wanted to hear a good version of it and not an accordion version of it.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah. I just was like, did the writer play accordion and then try to insert himself somehow into this narrative? I don't know. And then when he's playing accordion in his room and she's like watching him, I was like, when you live that close and your windows are open, you know, when someone is watching you, he was performing for her.
Yes. He was in his underwear with a cowboy hat. It was like, you know, I mean, yeah, I was surprised at how often they had their not only curtains open, but also like doors open.
Yeah.
I know.
He was
cute in that scene though. I was like,
yeah.
Shane West.
It works. There's a reason they do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Shane West is good looking and
man. Mm-hmm. And you know, man.
He's great. And if his character had a lot of flaws. But you know, I'd still forgive him, which is a problem with me.
No, I would too.
Yeah. I would never let him forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. His like character arc is like he becomes a worse person. Like, I feel like he starts off the movie and he's like lovely and kind. And at the end, like the lesson he learned from James Franco, which is like neg women and be an asshole. Because they'll like you. He like still has a kind of like edge to him, and it's like, oh, like he's like kind again, but still in the third act he's like really mean to
Ashley.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, you're being still an asshole in the third act. Have you really changed?
That was the thing that felt the ickiest to me, was it's like, okay, Ashley starts off kind and then they capitalize on her insecurities. And then like, which is clearly it's like something's like very wrong in her life. You know, something emotionally is going on that's like terrible, where the more Shane West insults her, the like more into him she is. And then it's like this thing that I hate too, where it's like, oh, well, then she's the sexual one. She's the one that's like down to play. And then we're like, yeah, like crazy woman, like so annoying. Yeah. And then he's so mean to her. I did like the joke when Ashley's like, I'll meet you in the shower. And then he comes in and she's bleaching her mustache.
I was like, yes. You're it.
Yes, representation of mustache bleaching in more films, please.
Yes, please. I want to be seen. I want myself represented.
I want to see myself in my mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she has a toe fungus too. Right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Which she says is a rash.
Yeah. more toe fungus.
More toe fungus representation. Please.
Yeah. Please. Yeah. I wanted to talk about their character arc. So at first, James Franco is like, he's like a douchebag, but he likes Maggie. So then I'm like, oh, well, maybe he has good taste, you know? Because he's going after the good girl kind of thing. But then towards the end, he just stays consistent. I don't think he changes at all.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. And I feel like they didn't do an amazing job setting that up in the beginning where he's like, this is the year I'm going to get Maggie. And then it's like, oh, that's cute. Is this your secret crush on the cute girl? And then it's like, oh, okay. And I guess that's so that we don't realize the nail and bail's coming. But yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I thought up top he might be better, but he was not.
Yeah. No. And then Shane West's character has a decline. He becomes a worse person. Ashley's character just kind of, you feel bad for her. So I don't know where it goes. You just are like, you're not a person. You're being controlled by a man writing your life. And I feel bad for you. Yeah. And then Maggie kind of stays the same too.
Yeah. But she almost gets worse for a second. Like I was so annoyed when he tried to tell her what he did. And she was like, you're trying to tear us down. And I'm like, Maggie, no, you should listen to him. That's a very bad choice you're making. So then. Yeah. But then, and then I do like that. Then she's like, fuck you, James Franco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She leaves him tied to the bed. And then everyone just draws on his body.
Yeah, which also stresses me out. It just feels like it's a very unkind world. It feels like it's a very unkind and unsafe world.
Yeah. Also, what did you guys do after prom? Because in a lot of these movies, because even in Blockers, there's like everyone's partying at the same hotel, you know?
Okay, after prom, what did I do? One year, we went back to one of the people's house and watched a movie. One year, and then I think two of the other years, people's just parents let us. I think they did let us like come over and drink, sorry, parents. Sorry to ask the cool parents. I think people did let us come over and drink, but no, I don't think any hotel would house a bunch of like drinking minors.
Yeah.
Rachel, what did you guys do after your
prom? Yeah, I was a weird kid who was like, I'm not drinking. It's prom night. So,
hell yeah.
A bunch of my friends who were like that too, we all went over to my friend Eric's house, whose parents made us snacks, and we had like a little sleepover. And then it split up our friend group because there was also the other half of the friend group that was like, we're going to get wasted and go to a hotel. And I was like, well, I'm going to go to Eric's because I know there's going to be good food. So that's what I did. I just we went to Eric's and had a sleepover and it was fun. And there was good food.
That sounds better. Yeah. That sounds better because I didn't really remember what I did after any of them, except for the one where we watched a movie and didn't drink. So.
Yeah. I mean, it is fun to keep partying. I did one year after homecoming, we went to Chelsea's house, whose parents, I guess, weren't there. But there was like a bonfire and alcohol and everyone was having a good time. And I still didn't drink. So I do remember. But it is fun to party after the party. But then also sometimes it's fun just to relax and eat food.
Yeah,
that's
I think I don't even remember, but I remember my prom group.
We're the nerdy girls, and we, I think, went to the 24-hour IHOP and got pancakes after prom.
Ooh. That sounds great, too. That sounds like a movie.
Yeah.
It was very sweet, but there was no alcohol.
Oh, it's okay.
Only carbs.
Carbs are better.
Alcohol is overrated in high school, as someone who drank so much in high school. If you didn't, I would have been really happy to be at IHOP with like close friends having conversations than just like, you know, being drunk, trying to be like a classic American teen.
I mean, when is like the thing that like is like everyone does, right? And so it feels like you have to do it, right? And then the other one is you feel like a nerd at the time, but then later you're like, well, that was nice.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, we had snacks and I sleep over.
Snacks. Yeah. I don't regret anything I did.
Yeah. Okay, can we also talk about what happens to Ashley at the end at the hotel?
Oh,
I
yeah.
also didn't I didn't feel great about that either.
Oh, no. So bad.
I in my head, it's fine. You know, like I'm going to write a narrative where she knows who that person is. Mm-hmm. She knows what she did. Right.
They had a conversation where.
Yeah.
He said, hey, it's actually me, stoner guy who looks kind of like Nick Kroll.
Yeah.
And then. Yeah.
Yeah.
And at least maybe when he's leaving the next day, then it's like she obviously she knows now. I don't know. But I also was like. I was like, not Game of Thrones, but I felt the same type of like chaotic evil about this universe. It's yes. like when yes. you watch a show and you're like, oh, this is a show where the universe isn't like positive. I felt that way watching this show where I was like, I don't like this universe.
Yeah, where the good people aren't rewarded and the bad people are, and there's such thing as fair and no such thing as characters remaining, you know, the same throughout.
Yeah. There was only one character that I liked the whole time. And I liked his ending too. And that was Colin Hanks. He was the only redeeming character of the whole movie. Yeah. He brought a mom as his date.
With the kid.
Yeah. And then it was and then it worked out well because then it was a Titanic themed prom, which I love, even though it is funny that Titanic was a disaster, and then it's funny to name your prom after that. But then at one point Aaron Paul's character has the floor removed, so then it's the pool underneath, and then everyone's in the pool. It's very Titanic. But it's funny because then Cosmo and his date, he escorts them out and he's like, women and children. Great reference.
That's a really good reference.
Yeah.
Oh.
They do have a bunch of different Titanic references because then there's two guys in the pool that are doing like a Jack and Rose thing.
I did like that as well.
I liked that.
Yeah.
Another Cosmo moment I liked was where the like nerdy boys are going to the party. Where, you know, Shane West is hoping to get his flirt on, and Cosmo comes in a full suit, and he's like, "You said to get dressed up."
And this is my favorite turn on one of those jokes, and I love it, is when they're like, "Wait, you said to get dressed up?" And then everyone's like, "You look great." You know, like they all just, you thought it was going to be like, "You're embarrassing." And everyone's like, "You look great. Let's go."
Yeah.
I was like, I fucking love that.
Yeah. Also, when we first meet Cosmo, he comes up and they're like, hey, Cosmo. And he's like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. Where it's like, you just think they're going to be mean to him. And for the most part, they're not. And it's very sweet.
I liked it. I liked the nerds. I wish we saw more of them. But
yeah.
No.
I remember when I was a kid, because for some reason, you guys, I have no idea in what capacity I absorbed this content. I remember the entire Aaron Paul storyline. I remember his whole storyline about the wanting to be the prankster and then getting the neck in the end. And I remember like thinking that was amazing when I was a kid. Upon watching it now, it was so, the exposition in this film was so annoying to me. So the whole time he's like, I would like to beat so and so the whole time. And I was like, blah, blah, blah. But I still do like at the end where the sheriff is the prankster. And
yeah.
It gives him the neck.
And then he puts it on back. So he's looking up.
Yeah. Very fun. Yeah, so I agree. Yeah, more nerds. Yeah, I did. I like that storyline.
Yeah. I also think the statue without the neck was very funny, and I think more people should do that to more statues.
I agree. Yeah. It's very funny.
The PE coach who kept hitting everyone.
I love him. I thought that was really funny.
I love that actor.
Yeah. It was like the joke where like this baseball PE coach is like, they're always in a unit of baseball in this movie where he throws like gym class for them is just like him throwing baseballs, trying to hit the kids at the school.
Yeah. I don't think we played baseball in PE.
No, I don't think we even played softball. Dangerous. Yeah, it was always kickball because the balls were rubber and, you know, soft if they hit you.
Yeah. It's like this kickball, volleyball.
The side adult characters were really good gets. Like this guy was on the West Wing, and then the mom is such a good get.
Yeah.
Let me look her up, but she's the mom on Shrill.
Isn't she?
She's the mom on something else.
Yeah.
Let me look. She's one of those like America's mom types. Let me look.
She on SNL or am I mistaking her?
Julia Sweeney. Let me look. I think she could be.
Yeah. Has she been in Mia?
Yeah. I think she's an SNL cast member.
That would make sense because she's so funny. I think she's lovely.
She's from the 90s.
She's on a TV show. What show is she on?
Oh my God. Wow. She works. I want her career. She was in American Gods. She was in Shrill. She was in a bunch of, you know, little guest stars on stuff.
Yeah.
She was on Frasier. That's it.
Oh, that's
she's on Frasier.
Also, Cosmo's date is Finn's mom from Glee.
Oh my gosh, she looked familiar.
Yeah, but she's also married to Steven Root. I found that out. He's the guy with the stapler from Office Space.
Oh my gosh.
What a great couple.
Yeah. I thought that was the adult characters were great in this. Too bad the teenagers sucked. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh. I just want to rail on the exposition again. I'm so sorry. That was something that just killed me in the beginning of the movie where they're like, you've been obsessed with her forever. It's been too long. And everyone's being like, you always want to ask her out on a date, you know, without any preamble. And I felt for like 20 minutes, the exposition lines and like the pacing was so strange where I felt like there was so much space between what everyone was doing and saying that I was like, it was making me uncomfortable. I always get like when there's too much space between dialogue, it always reminds me of The Room. It just always starts to remind me of the movie The Room. So a little bit of that energy here. But that's all. That's my rant.
Yeah. It felt like they were like forcing us to like, it was like, he likes her. He likes her. Just so you know, that's where we're starting.
Exactly.
Cool. Get into it then. But yeah, I did have a question for you guys. So the Titanic prom did make me think, oh my gosh, I always wanted to be Rose for Halloween, and I googled Rose costume on Amazon, and there is one. It's like $79, but is it worth
it? It's only worth it if you know you can either get to a bow of a ship or you know a strategic railing so that you can snap that pic. Because you got to get a pic of you standing on like, it could be like a railing on like a stairway or something. But just so you can get that classic Rose and Jack pic. But I think buy it.
I should go to the Queen Mary, right?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, the Haunted Queen Mary.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could add a railing to your costume, you know? Like a little bar. A lot of
cardboard tubes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Just a bow of a ship around your waist.
I think everyone gets to take photos with you. Yeah. I feel like I've seen a costume like that before. Like one of those like blow up costumes, you know, where it's like the air in it, like the dinosaur ones, but it's like Jack and Rose or something. God. They should make one of those where it's like it looks Jack like someone's back. Holding on to you. Yeah.
That's so
I want
funny.
That. And he's got his arms out or something. I don't know. Okay. Maybe I'll buy it. I don't know.
I've also started looking at Halloween costumes already, which yeah. I don't. Is that crazy?
I don't think so. It's so fun.
Yeah. We've had to spend one Halloween inside. So, yeah, I've got some piling up now. I really want to go as Molly Shannon from Superstar because I'm like, why have I never done that?
That's a good one.
Yeah. I think I want to be somebody from like Attack on Titan. I think there's like a little blonde. There's like a little blonde character that I think I could be.
What's Attack on Titan?
It's like an anime show where there are these giant titans and there are these people called rangers and they have like really cool sexy outfits and swords and stuff. My outfit wouldn't have swords, but it would have like the cases where they have the swords, and it kind of looked genius. Like equestrian, kind of like half between, it's like half equestrian, half like forest ranger kind of a
oh I love vibe. That for you I love Ooh, that yeah. for you yes yes yeah. yes yes.
There's going to be big Halloween parties this year, so I feel like we should go all out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I also, at one point, because I'm trying to get a bunch of different Britney Spears looks, I did look up if someone had an all-denim dress, and there is a woman on Etsy who will make a replica of her all-denim dress, but it's $300.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah,
no,
and I'm
no,
like, no, 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 no. I think
No,
I
could- you have to. You have to. You guys, think about it this way. If you end up going with the Britney Spears denim costume, it's like you just have to wear it like a couple Halloweens in a row and then it pays for itself. You know what I mean?
Oh, good
if
call.
You're like,
good call.
If I wear this, you know, four Halloweens in a row, I'm Britney Spears four Halloweens in a row, I'm saving money, you know?
Yeah. I feel like it could also be like a good outfit just to wear in the summer time.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, because it can do double duty as a real outfit.
Yeah.
A fun barbecue outfit.
Yeah, yeah. Show up in an all denim dress. But then also I'm like, I have a bunch of jeans that I don't know what to do with them because the crotches have holes in them now. Because, you know, so I'm like, what if I just cut them up and then sew them all together into a dress?
Yeah. That would be so cool. Just,
yeah. Make them all the same length and then.
Yeah.
That could be easy.
Yeah.
When I was in the second grade, a girl's mom in my class made a ordered someone to make a complete replica of the Oops, I Did It Again jumpsuit.
Ooh.
And she looked perfect. She had the jumpsuit and then a hair extension ponytail and a headset. And it was like the most amazing thing I'd ever seen in my entire life or ever will see.
Not to be this girl, but when oh my God. One of my first ice skating routines ever. I did it too. Oops, I did it again.
Stop.
And I had the cutest little like pink jumpsuit, just like Britney's. And I did my cool ice skating routine in my like little Britney outfit. I didn't have a headset because I did spins and stuff and it would fly off my head. But I had like the Britney jumpsuit and everything. And it was the coolest I think I've ever been.
Oh my God. Ellie, is there a pictures or video?
Yeah.
I'll send you guys some pics. I'm sure. Oh, I know there are some that exist.
Oh, yay. Please. That's honestly, I'll take any Britney content if any of you have it. I love her so much. I forgot to ask at the beginning, but what is your favorite Colin Hanks movie?
Okay. Well, I'm thinking okay. about TV. Oh no, Mia, you go first.
No, you go.
I'm just
I
want
to take yours.
No, because when I think about Colin Hanks, I honestly think about TV.
Yeah.
Like I think about Fargo. I think about him in Mad Men. Oh my God, he's so freaking hot in Mad Men. But let me think about movies because I always think his TV stuff first.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great. Then I will go. My favorite Colin Hanks is, of course, Get Over It, just because I just love that character. And I think it has such a lovely arc. Like it starts out pretty like sort of traditional in a way that is like yucky. And then I just really like the arc he goes through. And I think he's funny. And then a special shout out to his cameo in the first season of The OC, where he plays like a bizarro through the looking glass Seth Cohen on a fictional show that the people on the OC watch called The Valley.
Oh.
And then he shows up in Summer, like really likes him. And I just watched that episode and it was great. And I don't normally feel this way about him. He sounded so much like Tom Hanks. It was throwing me off. I was like, I'm just hearing Tom Hanks's cadence come out of his mouth. And I was like, this is crazy. Yeah. But I think he's lovely as Felix in Get Over It.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what? And I think, was he in The House Bunny?
Uh-huh.
And did he play Anna Faris's love interest in that movie?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. He was good in that. He was like, because he was like nerdy, because that's kind of his MO. He usually plays nerdy characters, but there was like a strength to him and like a sexiness to him. And he was like really smart. And I think she was like a little insecure because she didn't feel as smart, but he's like, no, you are smart. And it was like, good. I remember watching that movie again in the pandemic being like, why am I watching this? Will this hold up? I don't think this is, because it was like one of Emma Stone's first movies, I think, that yeah, she was like really like featured in it. And I liked him in that. It was, yeah.
Yeah.
And I also love Anna Faris. And I think some of it held up. Some of it held up.
Yeah.
That was my cue.
I think that's a lot of rom-coms. They're, I don't know if a lot of them hold up, which is sad.
Yeah. It's cool because it shows that, you know, our society has progressed and women's status in our society has progressed. But it is also kind of like, sometimes it's like a painful reminder being like, oh yeah, this was like,
yeah,
these weird rape jokes were normalized.
Yeah. The aggressive homophobia in in so many things where you're just like, oh my God. Like I'm like, even rewatching. Yeah. I'm rewatching
straight white stories. Just like all straight white people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping that maybe newer rom-coms will last a little bit longer. But I don't know.
That's the best part is that when you watch, sometimes you'll watch a rom-com from like 2000 and it holds up perfectly. And you're like, what the fuck? Like I just watched what I thought held up really well. What did we watch recently, Allie? Oh, I thought 13 Going on 30 held up surprisingly well.
Yes.
I was like, wow.
It held up surprisingly well.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, because it's like you just watch a rom-com that doesn't punch down. And you're just like that occasionally will happen where you're just like, wow, like they do exist. And then it's like, I wonder what that is, right? I wonder like how you create a film in the present that will age well. And I'm sure it's just to not be a dick is the answer. But I wonder how much that you would be subconsciously trying to do you'd be trying to do your best and then subconsciously the reflections of the culture you live in with them on.
I feel like aside from a few words, like Clueless kind of holds up.
Yes.
Yeah.
It does. And it's based off of Emma, which, you know,
holds up.
Oh my gosh, even just like the themes of Emma, like when she gets, I mean, she, because she sort of does what he does to the nerdy friends, where Emma is hanging out with the douchey guy and then she starts being mean to her poor friend, you know, who she's normally really nice to.
Classic trope.
Okay, so for Colin Hanks this season, I thought it would be fun if a fun little game. So Colin has a Hanks kerchief company where it's he has handkerchiefs. So I thought it'd be fun if we design a Hanks kerchief after Whatever It Takes.
Oh my God, that's the cutest thing ever.
So it can be like any color and then like little designs. It looks like they look like bandanas, though Colin it keeps saying they're not a bandana. They're bandanas. But
Hanks kerchiefs. And are we physically designing them or are we verbally pitching them?
Are we like pitching
them?
Okay, great. And this is for Whatever It Takes.
Yes.
I Okay, you got me it.
Okay, my Hanks kerchief is, it's a blue Hanks kerchief, and then it just has the statue with no neck. Because that's the thing I want to take away from this film. Yeah. Is that, yeah, because I would say the movie box, but you know, the movie box in terms of that moment where you were saying, Allie, where it's like some things in the movies just remind you of how things were and it's a bummer. Just even the visual of like two dudes with shit eating grins shaking hands, and then there's two women in the back being like, I don't know what's happening. It's like, I'm just like, I don't want to go back to that time. I don't want to go back there. So that I'm like,
I don't know, statue. I'm being manipulated.
Yeah. So I'm like, no, I like the statue part. I want a statue with no neck. That's what I want to take with me from my Hanks kerchief.
I think mine would be like, it would be a design of like their school gym where like the floor is parted and there are like some like pictures of people in the water floating. But then it's minimalist. It's not like too, you know, and then on the side is like a small Cosmo with a bubble saying, you know, women and, you know, women and children first, or save the women and children. That would be my kerchief.
I like it.
That's fantastic. Rachel, what's your kerchief?
Yeah.
I was thinking, it would be like little tiny things. So like an accordion. And then an iceberg, and then a Cosmo in his suit, and then I don't know what another one would be. Probably I'll do a statue too, a no neck statue. Nice. So each corner has a little thingy. Yeah, and it'll
love those.
It'll be green. I have no reason why, but it'll be green.
I wish we had these to wear. I wish I was chic enough to be one of those people that like wears a little bandana,
a little scarf. I know, me too. I don't have the courage.
I wore when I went to Europe a few years ago. I did wear one around my neck because I was like, this feels very European,
very French.
Yeah. And some people really thought I was French until I started talking, and then they were like, oh, never mind. I was like, I got you though. okay, and then the next thing I'm trying out for this season is I made a BuzzFeed quiz.
Oh my gosh.
Which character from Whatever It Takes are you? So you can each take the quiz. By the way, I did this really quickly, and I really put my own personal feelings towards the movie into how I wrote some of the answers. Yeah. That's just a preference. Okay, a preface. So, okay, who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, cool. What's your fave subject in school? Band, lunch, football, theater, or computer science?
Theater. I want to say lunch, but it's not. Lunch is too stressful. Theater.
Oh, God.
Okay, pick a song. Thong song. You Belong With Me, Hey Ya, Baby One More Time, or I'm Out With You?
Oh, Hey Ya.
Okay, pick a Titanic character. Jack Dawson, Spicer Lovejoy, Rose DeWitt Bucator, Calden Hockley, or Ruth DeWitt Bucator?
Rose.
Okay, pick another Cyrano movie. The Half of It, The Truth About Cats and Dogs, Roxanne, Let It Shine, a Disney Channel original movie, and then Sierra Burgess is a Loser.
Oh, whoa. The Half of It.
Okay. Now pick a Tom Hanks movie. The Man with Run Red Shoe, Big, Splash, Sleepless in Seattle, or That Thing You Do.
Oh, God. I'm going to do Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, you got Maggie. And and it says, you deserve better. Don't settle for dumb guys.
I love that. Oh,
that's amazing. Rachel, I wrote down all my answers. So I have them.
Okay.
Unless you want to re-ask me them, and then I will tell you.
No. You can just tell me if you want.
Okay, great. I have Theater, Melt With You, Rose, Roxanne, and That Thing You Do. Which I just watched. I wouldn't have guessed it, but I just, Steve Zahn made me laugh so much.
Oh, Steve Zahn is great. I'm thinking about doing a Steve Zahn podcast.
Oh my God, please do, because like, why, Steve Zahn deserves to be honored like much more than he is. He's so funny.
So funny. Guess what? You got Cosmo.
So honored.
You are a light and joy. You are good, and don't listen to your friends when they say you overdress for a party. It's better to overdress than underdress.
Oh my God. Wow. I'm going to feel good for the rest of the night.
Wow. Those are both great characters, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I was scared I was going to want mine. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to be sad if I don't get Maggie, but it was Cosmos are great.
Yeah.
Cosmos great.
They're the two best characters in a movie full of really bad characters. So, okay. Well, now we've reached the end. So let us rate this movie out of 5 Collins. How many Collins would you give this movie?
Is this based on his performance or?
It can be whatever, how you interpret it. It can be for the movie overall, like if you, it'd be like stars, but they're Collins instead, or it can be based on Collins' performance in the movie.
I hate to say it. I'm going to be giving it 1.5 Collins because just a lot of the themes in the movie and how they treated the female characters. I did not care for it, but the points go to the fun Statue Next story, Colin Hanks's performance, and 0.5 star for the accordion at prom grand gesture because it got me a little bit. So I'd probably
give this 2.5 Collins, maybe 3 Collins. How many out of 5? 3 Collins. Because it's his first like debut. It's his first feature film. And I think why I give it so many, even though the film is flawed, is that it kind of cements his nerdy kind of like MO. Like, and he like plays nerdy characters kind of like for the rest of his career. Sometimes he gets out of that box, but that's like usually what he's typecast as. So I'd say, because it's his first one, it kind of like solidifies like who he is, you know, as an actor and his type. I'd give it 3.
Yeah.
And he's good in it.
He is good in it. Yeah. I would probably give it 2 Collins because that's for how long I liked the movie. And they're all those Collins are going to Colin because he was the best part.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If Tom was in this movie, who do you think he would be?
The baseball coach.
Shane West. Oh, the baseball coach.
So I like baseball coach.
I feel like if Tom was Shane West's character, he would find a way to make Shane West's character better in the end.
Of course. Yes. He's just more likable.
Mm-hmm. Well, wow. Thank you so much for joining me to talk about Whatever It Takes. Where can people find you guys?
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
You could find our podcast on Twitter and IG at PS I Love Romcoms Pod. And then you can find our podcast, PS I Love Romcoms, you know, wherever you get your podcasts. And then you can find me at Allie Jens on Instagram.
And you can find me at It's Mia Schaffler.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay! Yeah. Everyone go listen. You guys cover a lot of, I know where the season is about Colin, but really this podcast is about Tom Hanks and you guys have covered a lot of Tom movies. He's the greatest,
but one of the greats. And more often than not, we watch another rom-com and we find out Tom Hanks was up for the role and we said probably should have gone to Tom Hanks. Or we're watching a rom-com that doesn't jive and we say, well, maybe if they had Tom Hanks,
It would have been good. Yeah. Several times we're like, if they had gotten Tom Hanks, this rom-com would have worked and probably would have been a classic, but
they didn't,
but they didn't.
They got Tom Cruise instead.
Oh, yeah, boo.
Didn't work.
Cruise, not, but no, Hanks. thank you again. And thanks for listening. Okay. Bye. This week for our call-in segment of the podcast, we got a special phone call from someone who I love very much. My mom.
Hi, Rachel. This is your mom. I'm calling about Colin Hanks. I just wanted to tell you about it. The first time I saw him, it was when I was watching That Thing You Do. And I saw him escorting Liv Tyler up the steps to the Hollywood Showcase. He was so cute. He looked like he was 12. And he had this cute little hairdo with his hair sticking up. And at the time when I saw him, I said, hey, that looks like Tom Hanks' son. But I don't think there was anybody around to hear me. But anyway, that's the first time I saw him. And then, let's see, the other time that I can talk about was when he was on NCIS, but he started out being kind of a butthead, and nobody liked him because he was so mean to everybody. And he was trying to just, he was picking on everybody on the team, and he was trying to get Gibbs in trouble. And so he made everybody quit, and everybody left, and it was awful. And then he ended up redeeming himself because he saved Gibbs' life, I guess. So it was okay. I guess he did all right. But anyway, that's it. That's all. So I'm a big fan of you because I love you. And I think all your podcasts are great. And thanks for letting me call. Bye.
Well, thanks, Mom, for calling in. I love you, too. And if you have anything you want to say about Colin Hanks, you can call into our call-in segment of the podcast. All you have to do is call 805-622-9667 and leave a message. The number is 805-622-9667. You can talk about anything that you want about Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks, or just any of the movies that we're covering, and I'll put it on the pod. And thanks again for listening. Hanks again for listening. Okay, bye.
It's a Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, a Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for Hanks.